Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number 17, and your speaker is Clint Byers.
Jimmy, I sure am glad you quit being religious with your music, because I like to feel it. Amen. Man, I love to worship. There's just something about worship. It's just that place of intimacy, of like what Jim was talking about, that place where you engage your heart with Jesus. You connect with him at a place where, you know, it's one thing to know the new covenant. I mean, it's one thing to know what he's done, and you have to know that, but if it's not real for you, if it's not personal for you, it's the reason why this one gets healed, this one doesn't get healed, this one experiences a miracle, this one doesn't experience a miracle. It's the reason why we have partial experiences of the kingdom in our life. How connected we are with Jesus in our hearts, where we are with him personally. And you know what? No one can teach you how to do that. It'd be like trying to teach somebody how to fall in love, you know? You can't do that. But that's our responsibility. It's a matter of how much are we going to invest into this relationship. And really, that's why I have kind of focused on what I've focused on, is showing you the detail of what Jesus actually did and what he actually accomplished, because that's his extravagant love toward us, that all there is left to do is just respond. You know, we love him because he first loved us. And that's it, man. If we could just walk daily knowing and experiencing his love for us, all those things that we try to do and we're working to figure out how to get it to work, man, it just happens. It just happens automatically. And when we were worshiping over there, I kept seeing this and hearing this, and I try to make this a personal experience for me while I'm worshiping, but the proverb kept coming up to me that as we acknowledge him, he makes our paths straight. You know, that's the kingdom. That's a principle in that as we are set toward him, as our face and our heart is set toward him in that moment, in this moment, in that second of worship, as we're open toward him, it's not that we're going to go out of that worship session and then try to figure out how to find him in life, right? Like, I need an answer. Maybe I'll get it. I'm trying to hear the voice of God. It's how am I going to work this stuff out? Maybe once I leave here, then that situation will change. I feel better now. Now I'm charged up. Now I can go live out there. No, in this moment, right now, as you acknowledge him, in any moment you choose to do so, his spirit is alive and active in your life and going and making your path straight. Every second of every day that we will allow him to do so. And stuff just happens. It just happens. You look around and you're like, I didn't ask for that. You know, but when we put it off into the future, when we think intellectually and rationalize and reason, okay, now I've got the understanding. Now let me go do it this way. No. This moment, the kingdom is in you to grow out of you. And as you acknowledge him, he makes your path straight. I mean, just do whatever it takes for yourself to see that, to connect with that, to let him, to stop hindering him. He sees what's going on around you. He's got some big old angels. Ed's got a big old black one. And he shows up. You know, man, this second, do you see that? Just give it to him. Whatever it is, wherever you need him to be, he's there. He's standing there. He's breathing on it. He's bringing life to that situation. He knows exactly what needs to happen. Yield to him. Let him have it. Do you trust that his kingdom is in you and growing and working right now? Right now. Thank you, Father. So then it just becomes a love walk. 1 John 4:10. This is the love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So many things to say. I've got 24 minutes to wrap this thing up. I'm going to interrupt myself. I got this little book here. I wrote it. It's going all over the world. Who wants one? Your hand was up first. Somebody give this. Hand that to her behind you. There's that one. We charge for that one, but we have a free version of that one. It's just a super simple, basic way to answer the question, why bad things happen, even though God is good, and you know, got great reports from it. But you have to promise to read it and give it away to a stranger. Yeah. If you guys want some for your churches, contact us. We've got an email list back there. You can reach out. I got this, too. This is a book I wrote, Devil Walk. This is my story. I wasn't raised in church, ended up doing drugs, and had a particular night where I started hearing voices, and these voices, which I didn't know even existed. I didn't believe in God. I used to get high and sit on my rooftop and pray for the aliens to come and take me to another planet. And they did. But it wasn't how I was expecting it to happen, right? They're not very nice. And they convinced me to believe that I had died and gone to hell. And I thought, man, if hell's real, God must be real. And so Jesus would come. And before I was even born again, I would just have these experiences of just knowing he was with me. It's like, okay, there's Jesus. And it was just like, from the beginning for me, it's just this really crazy personal encounter with him. And I'd kind of have these glimpses. I'm not trying to make it all mystical, but this was my experience. There'd be times where I'd feel like I could see him with me, you know, and he was never condemning. Because I didn't have the religion in my head, all I knew was that, man, I am in trouble. I'm going to hell, and I might already even be there, but here's Jesus, and I feel pretty good when he's here. That was where my theology came from. So then the first church I go to is preaching this stuff, and it's like, man, here we go. So I wrote a book about that firsthand in the blue there. I'll give you the hand that back here. Thank you, sir. So usually people grab that book, and they're like, oh, I think I know somebody that needs to read this, and they buy it for somebody else. But all right, so enough of that. Stay connected with us. We got an email list back there. This is how we are to live in this earth, and that is, take this love that has been shed abroad in our hearts, go into this world, communicating the gospel of the kingdom. God is not holding your sin against you, knowing that the blood of Jesus already resonates in heaven as our life. He has taken his blood, taken it into that most holy place in heaven, sprinkled it as a sacrifice, as an eternal testimony of our righteousness, and then gives us the spirit of promise that connects us to that place where his blood brings us righteousness. And man, how can we not just be oozing with love knowing that that's how we exist in heaven? You know, it's not that you were resurrected with Jesus when he was resurrected. It's that you were raised in authority with him when he chose to, when you received him, you received everything he has, joint heir, co-heir, a name above all names, fully equipped as an ambassador to go into this world with all of heaven behind you, already a citizen of a heaven, to back up what you're going to say. And all you got to do is tell people, God loves you. God's not mad at you. And it was the compassion of Jesus that moved him to walk in miracles. It was the compassion that empowered him. It was the love that empowered him. So if you pray for people, or if you're worried about witnessing, or you're worried about fulfilling your call, or you're worried about anything, it's still about you, and it's not about Jesus. If you're worried about the outcome, Stop it. Learn how to love people. Develop a deep compassion for people and watch what happens. Because then it's just super easy. And this is what the world needs. So I've got a few more passages here. This is 1 John 4:13. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whosoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So then this is how Jesus said it. John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So they'll know that we belong to him as they see us loving each other. Then he says, John 17:20, my prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. You know, Jesus didn't say, pray for a revival and the world would believe. He didn't say, learn how to teach effectively and the world would believe. He said, love one another and the world will believe. But we don't believe that. But we should. Because that's why we love, right? We love him because he loved us. That's the principle. We love each other, they will want that love. We love them, they will in turn receive that love, and they will be open to God's love. It's just too simple. You know, we want to figure out how to hear God. You know what? You don't need to figure out how to hear God. You are perfectly complete in him. And it is sufficient for you to, in that place, in every moment, acknowledge him, recognize that he is making your path straight. What do you need to hear God for? I mean, I'm not saying don't hear God, you know. I'm not invalidating the gift of prophecy and all that kind of stuff. But why have we made our Christianity about gaining information? God, I need you to tell me something. Give me some information. Even though it's like we think we're looking for spiritual information, we're still looking for information. We're still Gnostic in our understanding of how spiritual things work. Right? We've got the mind of Christ. We know everything that Jesus knows. We've got everything in us that God has ever revealed to Jesus. And we're trying to get him to tell us something. I mean, I want to bend your brains a little bit today. I want to make you repent. Because, I mean, how many times have you, you know, even still we think, God, I need to know this. I just need you to speak to me. And I get that. I'm not trying to take anything away from a personal interaction and hearing from God. And you know, all of that. I love all of that stuff. I mean, you know, I love when I hear God and I write something down. I'm like, man, that's good. I got to preach that. I will preach and go back and listen to it when I'm editing and think, where did that come from? We've got an administrator now who goes back and edits everything for us, and he kind of takes a bunch of quotes out and spaces them out over our Facebook page. Go like our Forward Church Facebook page, Facebook.com/Forward Church GA, and we're putting out a steady stream of these, you know, just the message. We post it free every week, but then about three times a day, posts get put up there, and I'll read those. I'm like, man, that's pretty good. Because it's like, you know, if we can, and I'm not saying I'm there, I don't have it all together, but what I've learned to do is just kind of yield myself to God, and sometimes things jump out, but it happens in every area of life. So this is not a new secret to try to figure out how to do. I mean, there are some principles to stick to in acknowledging God and trusting that he works. Because, again, I'm just going to kind of review some things. I don't know. We'll just jump around. Y'all good? Remember, Jesus told them when they came to him and they said, we couldn't do it. He said, it's because of your unbelief. And they said, well, give us some more faith. And he said, no, what you need is the faith that remembers that the kingdom is active right now. Remember that mustard seed principle growing. So when we can just forget about the information that we think we lack, because you don't lack it, it may not be in your conscience, it may not be in your consciousness, it may not be an intellectual, you know, normal way of thinking for you, but it's in there. And see, all the blessings of God are in us. He's given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and heaven is in us. It's not that we don't have them. It's not that we have to get them. It's just that they're spiritual. And we've made spiritual separate from us rather than looking at those things as seeds. We understand physical things that we do to plant seeds for kingdom, right? I'm going to give somebody a book, that's going to be a seed. I'm going to plant some money, that's going to be a seed. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to start a church, we're planting a seed. It's the same way in spirit. It's the same way in any seed that you do. It's already encoded to work and produce what is within it. And he is not withholding it from you. But what happens is we choke it out. We don't remain confident and patient to let that come to full fruition, because we either forget, you know. I love to steward revelation, you know. I mean, we come to church and we go to these amazing services and we get stuff and it makes us feel good and we write it down and it's like we never go back and look at it. We forget about it. You know, are you stewarding revelation? Are you stewarding what God shows you? You know, and that may be different from you. I don't mean just you got to constantly take notes and gather information, but are you actually taking those revelations that you get and letting them grow? Because we forget. But then, you know, you hear a story like Bob and Audrey. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's what it looks like to let forgiveness for others and for myself come to fruition. I can see that. You know, the testimony is powerful. I can connect with that. I can share what Jesus, there's no more powerful testimony than what Jesus has done. You know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If you're in the prophecy and you're in those cultures where they make it a big thing, the point should be, it should be testifying of what Jesus has done. You know, any testimony that comes about, God gets the glory. I love the story of Moses. It's actually one of the places we got the name Forward, because I'm going to flip over here to Exodus 14, if you want to jump over there. And, you know, Moses, we all know the story. He's a Hebrew. His mom protects him. He gets adopted by Pharaoh, the most powerful person on the planet, brings him into his family for such a time that God has ready for him to be a deliverer. The time comes, and what does he do? He jumps out there in his own strength to make it happen, and people get killed in the process. So then he runs and he hides for 40 years. I mean, you feel guilty about sitting on your calling for however long you've been sitting on. Try 40 years. So he follows this lamb up into the crevice one day, and here's this burning bush. And I say, before God ever even speaks to him, he gives him a picture of how he's to function in this call that he's bringing him into. There's this bush that is burning, and it's not being consumed. That is a perfect image of grace, because anything that burns, you know it's going to be consumed. I mean, what makes something burn is the energy within it exhausts itself, and once that's gone, the thing stops burning. But here's a bush with green leaves, and it has fire on it. There's life within this thing that's not being consumed, and yet it's burning. That's us. That's how God wanted Moses to follow him. You're going to burn of an energy that's not your own. And when you're burning out, you're burning of the wrong energy. You know, when it's hard and difficult, I'm doing it wrong. It's time for me to acknowledge Him, rest in Him. But rest doesn't mean inactivity. So God speaks to him and he says, all right, I want you to go deliver them so that I can dwell among them. Moses, you know, starts to interview God. Okay, well, now who are you? And what should I tell him again? And how am I going to do this thing? So God kind of backs up a little bit. And he says, okay, what's in your hands? He starts to make it personal, right? It goes from this big major thing to, what's in your hands? And Moses is like, well, I got this stick. It's like, okay, well, I can work with that. Watch. Amen. I can work with what's in your hands. Just give it to me and watch me work. Moses is like, wow, that's pretty cool. So, but then he kind of forgets, right? I love what happens here because, you know, it's subtle and we kind of miss it, but this is Exodus 14:13. This is after all the plagues and they're out and the enemy's behind him and the mountain's on one side and the mountain's on the other side and the ocean is in front of him. Usually what we do is we're like, okay, I see what's going here. Let me reason through the best option here, the mountain. I think I can go over that. So we start climbing. I'm going to walk up that mountain. I'm going to get out of here. I can do that. I can go up that mountain and go and get out of here. It may take me longer, maybe harder. I see that maybe God could do something here, but I'm going to take this in my own self, and I'm going over the mountain. So that's not what he did. That's what we do. But watch this. Moses, this is Exodus 14:13. Moses said unto the people, fear not. Now, this is Moses to the people, right? And this sounds really good. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen, you shall see them again no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is where our enemy is going to be completely wiped out. This is the face. This is the public face that Moses is showing to the people, right? Stand still. Salvation is coming. The Lord fights for you. 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? What? Why are you crying to me? So apparently, whatever's going on inside of Moses is different than what he's speaking. I mean, think about it. He's in front of the people and he's encouraging them and he's speaking the truth and he's telling them the truth. But God asks him, why are you crying to me? Have you ever been there? You know, it's like, man, I can speak this stuff. I can give it out. I can even tell it to myself. But inside, man, I'm freaking out. What in the world am I going to do? What's going to happen? Where do I go? And again, what God had shown him is that he could use what's in his hands. That's what he says to do. He says, speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel will go on dry ground in the sea, through the midst of the sea. I hope that you hear that question to yourself as you are going forward throughout the rest of your life and facing challenges, is that you've seen God. How many of you have seen God work in your lives? I mean, undeniable, right? And it's usually in a way, maybe you look back and it's like, well, you know, I didn't really make that happen and it wasn't really some big thing, but I know God worked in this situation. All we have to do is, as we acknowledge him, he makes our path straight. And as we make the choice to go forward, all you have is what's in your hands. You're going to let him use it. Are you going to give him what's in your hands? You've got this big thing that you want to do. You've got this big problem. And you're sitting there looking at it, and you're in the middle of it thinking, I really don't know what to do. I know God is real. I trust God. I believe all this stuff. But I need something out here. God bring something. God show me something. Tell me something. No. What's in your hands? You know, I kind of preached on this in our church, and there was about four or five people that in about 2 months after this message, they came up and they said, you know, I realized that I had this already, so I just kind of started applying principles of wisdom in this particular area, and God blessed it like crazy. See, because in the midst of this, then this is where Jesus becomes our wisdom. See, because he is our sanctification. He's washed us. He's cleansed us. He's made us holy. He's made us acceptable before the Father. You know, he presents us as holy. This is in Colossians. I love that image that Jesus presents us as holy to the Father. It's like in that resurrection when he took his blood, and in that moment that you receive him, it's like Jesus carries you in his arms before the Father and says, look what I've done. I have made them holy. And then he puts his spirit in you and sets you forth in this earth, and you just walk. And we are the most powerful thing this world has ever seen. And we've got stuff in our hands. And he'll do stuff with it. And we're sitting there holding it, worrying, as if God's not going to do something with it. Man, what is wrong with us? It's just the way we think. Say, I repent. I'm going to let him work in my life. So then, that's where Jesus becomes. He's our sanctification, right? He's cleansed us. He's our redemption. We are redeemed, sealed with that spirit of promise. And he's our wisdom. He is what we need. His spirit is constantly alive inside of us, speaking to us in those moments. But see, here's the thing. This is where it goes back to connecting with his wisdom is not about getting information. Connecting with God's wisdom and walking in spiritual truth is not about getting some spiritual information. It's yielding to the spirit that is within you and watching it work. But there is wisdom to apply. The hand of the diligent will be made rich. You know, a man devises his plans. God shows him the steps. If you don't have a plan, God can't give you the steps to get to the end of your plan. You know, we've kind of made that a dichotomy, like two opposing realities. Man's got some plans, but God wants him to go this way. No, that's like you've got the plans in your heart. God says, oh, okay, here's how you get there. Continue to walk in me. I will be the wisdom that you need to walk in. Whether it's an intellectual process that you go through or not, it's intuitive. But it's not mystical where we're trying to figure something out. We're just being led. So here's the big question. There's two questions. What's in my hands? Okay, three questions. What? Who's counting? What's in my hands? Am I going to let God use it? It's some really good third question. Yeah, am I going to trust God? Really, that's what it comes down to. Am I going to trust that he's alive and breathing and living in me? Or am I going to try to figure out how to use and do spiritual things? We're in his kingdom. It's in us to grow out of us. He has raised us with him, seated us in heavenly places, made us acceptable before the Father, placed his spirit as a promise inside of us, placed everything that he has inside of us, made every promise yes for us, given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, constantly gives life to our physical body, constantly leads us and guides us into all truth, reminds us of what the Father has said, tells us what the Father is saying, shows us things to come, goes before us, uses what's in our hands, and says, why are you crying to me? Go forward. Amen. Just give him some love. Alan.